You know, if we look at the Torah, we talked about this before. If you break down all those commandments, it's two things. It's loving God and loving each other. And that was a great way to say that and to touch on it, because we are all made in the image of God. How much more should we respect each other and trust each other and take care of each other with the words we say? Well, today, I'm going to continue on with this series here, the parables of Yeshua. There's many parables in the scriptures. We've been going through some of them. There's so many. I don't think I can get to them all, or else this would be a whole year-long sermon series. But we won't do that. This is going to be talking about a really good parable, I think, an interesting parable today. A parable is said to be an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So it's more than just a nice little story. There's something higher as far as a meaning that God is trying to convey to us. God doesn't just say things just to hear the sound of his voice or because he likes to be, you know, an author. You know how some people are like, ooh, I wrote a book. Check it out. God doesn't care to have those accolades. But what he says, he means. And when he says something, it's not just because it sounds great or it's fun to say. There's a heavenly meaning he has behind it. Yeshua, our Messiah, the embodiment of the Torah, the living Torah, spoke in these stories, these parables, these analogies that people could understand. And that's key. He didn't exclude certain people. He didn't say, okay, I'm about ready to talk, and this is going to be a little too complicated for some, so you guys just hang out over here. I'm going to talk to the scholars now in the audience. He didn't say that. He didn't say, okay, all the MDivs and the PhDs in theology, I'm going to talk to you guys now. We're going to have a lecture on the parables. He didn't say that. He didn't treat people differently because of their education or their background or their status. He wanted all people to understand. He was really a man of the people. And he wanted to connect with all different types of people. It's really a unique person who can connect with all different types of people. Because, you know, every single person in this world is different. How many billions of people do we have in this world? And how many different types of people? Not only that, have you ever been to another country, like if you go to Europe or even South America, and or even other parts of this country? And, you know, I have a certain sense of humor based on where I grew up and who I am. And then you start talking to somebody and you start, like, joking with them, like from another country, and they just don't get it. They're like, because, and it would be completely funny to somebody that's in your part of the country, right? Because people are all different. You can't just assume that everybody's all different. But it takes a unique individual, a unique leader, to be able to speak into the lives of everyone. Really, it takes the power of God, because we can't do it. We have certain sensibilities, you know, and I pray all the time, God, let it not be me speaking, let it be you speaking, because all of you from different backgrounds, from different ways of viewing things, need to understand, and you all need to connect with God. So as we were praying before service, I just said, Lord, today, get me out of the way, because you need to work. I don't want to be speaking up here my words. I want you to hear God's words. So we all need to get out of the way and let God start speaking to us today. And that's what was going on. Yeshua was speaking. He was speaking to them and connecting with them based on the themes of God that they could relate to. Because knowledge is great. I'm the first person to say knowledge is great. Study is great. We need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to study the Word of God. But, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't learn, but we should be digging into the scriptures. But we also, there's a different thing between getting knowledge, you know, having endless Bible studies just to increase your knowledge base. That's fine, but there comes a point where you need to apply that knowledge. Because true transformation and true change as a believer only comes through taking all that good stuff you learn and putting it in here and putting it in here. There's scholars of the Bible that have no clue how to relate to God. There's people that understand the archaeology and can quote scripture and do college-level classes on the scriptures that really have no relationship with God. And it's clearly evident. Have you ever watched some of those shows on TV, you know, those biblical shows? And they interview these guys, and it's like, what are you saying? Because, of course, they're way off in their interpretation of what the Word of God says. You've got to take that knowledge and you've got to apply it You've got to apply it in your life, because that's when transformation happens and growth happens, and that's where you start becoming more and more in the image of God. Yeshua got that. He was the best at breaking down these difficult topics, all this knowledge, and bringing it in so people could apply it to their lives. That's what these parables are all about. It's taking these topics and applying it through using these stories and these analogies, and for people to connect with God. You're never going to connect with God if I say, okay, read this, and it's like Greek to you, literally. You know, let's go study the Greek. But you are going to connect with God if you're an accountant and I say, okay, well, let's talk about debits and credits, you know? Or let's talk about something, like if you're a farmer, let's talk about crops. That's what parables are about. Yeshua's talking to them about things they can relate to, so that it's easier for them to take that knowledge and put it right here and put it right here. That's what we're talking about today. So the first week we talked about sowing seeds. That was the first parable that we talked about. Last week we talked about these wineskins and the cloth, all these relatable topics. And so many analogies in Judaism have to do with what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is the Or, O-H-R, or the light. Okay? We're Karen Or, that's the name of our synagogue. Karen Or means ray of light. There's a lot in Judaism, there's a lot in the Bible that has to do with light. And today's parable concerns light. What does light mean? Light is representative of good, of truth, of the Lord, shining the Lord into your life, shining the Lord into this community, shining the Lord into the world. It's all about good stuff. If I didn't have lights on me, you couldn't see me. Okay? Light produces so much for us. Light is good. It's truth. The other side of the coin, what is the opposite of light? Darkness. Darkness represents evil. Darkness represents confusion. Darkness represents not understanding. Today we're going to talk about that contrast, and we're going to talk specifically about the lamp. I want you to turn to the book of Mark today. Our parable, our story, that earthly story with a heavenly meaning, it's going to be Mark 4, 21 through 25. We're talking about the lamp under the basket, that whole parable today. It's a great one. It's probably one of the most well-known. It has to do with that light. Of course, a lamp is a light as we know it. You probably have many lamps in your house. Read Mark 4. I'm going to read Mark 4:21 and start off today. And he, Yeshua, said to them, the people from all different backgrounds that were there to hear the word, is a lamp brought in to be under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? Now think about that. A lamp, why would you take a lamp and light it underneath something? The lamp is obviously the light. Light allows us to see where we're going. Like I said, if I didn't have lights on me, you couldn't see me. If we didn't have lights in here, believe me, this room gets pretty dark. This black background makes it look really, really dark. That light allows us so much to see. It lights the path for us. It allows us to see where we're going in a physical sense. You can't find your way in a room. You ever tried to find your way in a room when there's no light at all? It's very difficult. You start bumping into things. One day we have a little dog, and one morning I got up and there was no light, and I bumped right into the dog. The dog, you know, gave the yelp, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like, oh, sorry about that. And then I bumped into like three more things trying to find the light. When we don't have light, we're confused. We make mistakes. We bump into things. That's in the physical. But in the spiritual, obviously this applies to us in the spiritual. Psalm 119, 105. You all can probably quote the scripture. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God picked the lamp and the light because it represents so much. Your word. What is the word? The word of God. The instructions. We talked about it earlier. This is a lamp to us. This is a light to us, because in a spiritual sense, if I did not have this in my life, I wouldn't know what to do. I would be walking around bumping into things in this life. I wouldn't have the light, the Or of God, to light my path, to help me to understand things. We are also to be a light. It doesn't stop right there. We are supposed to be a light as believers. Matthew 5:14. You, me and you, are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. It's the same concept with a lamp can't be put under a basket. If you put a city on a hill, you're not going to, you know, it's all about tactical positions when you're talking about warfare and when you're talking about battling, right? Whoever has the upper ground, you ever seen Star Wars Episode 3? Obi-Wan had the higher ground, all right? So Anakin was done for. I'm telling you, the upper ground is what you need. That city on that hill, it is going to shine. I remember as a kid, I lived in New York, and we lived in this town, and of course it was up in New York where there's a lot of mountains and such, and there was a castle on the top of the hill. And every time we drive by it, I was a little kid. I just look up and, wow, you can't miss this. It's like right up there. A city on a hill, your light should be something that you don't put underneath a basket. You don't put underneath something. You got to put it way up there so it has no option. It's just shining. It's just showing you. I could not avoid looking at that. You know, it was just there. A city. Jerusalem is a city upon a hill. People can't avoid. You go up to Jerusalem. They say that because you were physically going up in elevation to Jerusalem. You've got to have that light, and it's got to be shining down. That's what we're to be. We are the light, not just of this community. We're the light of the world. What better light is there than the light of the Lord? I'm telling you, there's a lot of lights in this world. There's a lot of lights in this world. A lot of counterfeit lights. But the only true light that really lights our path is the Lord. Have you ever tried other lights before you became a believer? There's a lot of lights out there that can lead you down really dark paths. This is the light that will always light the way, that will get you out of trouble, that will be shining down, that will be that positive, that good, that truth in your life more than anything else. Let your light shine before others. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We know faith and works have to go hand in hand. It's great to have faith. Faith is the beginning of it. But as it says in the epistles, you know where I'm talking about, some of you, without faith, without works is dead. You've got to do some works there. Why? So that people may see your good works, not so that they can say, oh, how Jim is so great at following the Lord, or, you know, Susie is so great. Look at her. It's so people see God in you and they give glory to God. Okay? God didn't give you this light for you to be sitting on a hill. Everybody come and look at me. I'm so awesome. It's so that people can see God in you who is so awesome. So that other people would follow that light. And it perpetuates from there. You've been given a light. We've been given a light in us. Not for our own good, our own purposes, but to glorify the light himself and the giver of that light. We only have one light if we've accepted Yeshua, the great light that is Yeshua. If we have Yeshua, we've accepted him. What does that mean? What does it mean when people say, oh, I've accepted Yeshua? You've accepted him into your life and into your heart, right? You have said, above all things, I want that light, okay? I value the light of the Lord above the light of fill in the blank, okay? Before the light of my job, before the light of my wife or husband, before the light of my kids, before the light of anything, I put Yeshua first in my life. I've surrendered my life to Yeshua. I've asked him to take my sins, and I have accepted him. And when you accept something, when you value it more than anything else, you have a passion for it. It's in your heart, okay? So he's in us in that sense. Yeshua is in us. And if the light of the world, Yeshua, lives in us, we're the light of the world. Make sense? If the light of the world is living in us, we have the light of the world in us, so we are the light of the world. We're supposed to shine, not ourselves, but that great light in us. The great light of the world is that, and that's Yeshua, and he needs to shine. Light is not meant to be left under a basket. It is not meant to be hidden. And listen, it's the responsibility of every believer in Yeshua to shine their light. I'm going to say that again. It's the responsibility of every believer in Yeshua to shine that light. Why? If you got the light of Yeshua in you, like I said, you can't put it under a basket. You ever tried to put like a light under something, like a cloth, and you could just see the light from underneath? That's like Yeshua, except it's brighter. You can't hide that. Don't try to hide it. Just let your light shine. I mean, I know it's a simple concept, but I'm not saying go out in the streets and witness. If you're called to that, great, go do it. I'm not called to that. I'm telling you right now, straight up. I'm not called to go out on the streets and proclaim Yeshua to people. Okay? There could be times when I do that, but I'm not saying we got to go crazy about it and just go shouting it from the rooftops and, you know, kind of being annoying about it, because we also have to be discerning. People are all different places. You know, some people are not ready. You have to let the Lord work on their lives, and then maybe you could say something. Some people come and they lay the seeds. Some people come and they water the seeds. Okay? Some people come and they reap the harvest. Okay? We're all called for different things. Don't be so arrogant, and I'm talking to myself too, to think that you're the one that lays the seeds, you're the one that waters, and you're the one that pulls out the crops. Maybe you're not. And we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay if we're just the seed planters. It's not much very glamorous to be the seed planter, right? Nobody ever talks about the seed planter. They always talk about, oh, I'm pulling this crop out. I'm pulling this. Look at all the lives that I've shown the Lord to. And it, you know what? What's just as important is that person that quietly is planting those seeds, right? Nobody ever talks about that. But without the person planting the seeds, somebody can't reap it. Somebody can't reap those crops. So we all have things to do. We're all parts of the body. Maybe you're not a very glamorous part of the body. And maybe you are. It doesn't matter. We all have roles to fulfill based on how God has shown us to shine that light. But it's a responsibility of every believer in Yeshua to shine your light. However the Lord is showing you, if you're not one to stand on the street corners, maybe you're the one to plant the seeds. And take joy in that, because God has called you to do what you've been called to do. There's nothing better than that. There's nothing more fulfilling than that. You'll be miserable if you try to be over there when God's calling you over there. So go be over there and have that joy of the Lord in your life. And you know what? They're both going to go before the throne of God one day, and he's going to say, thank you, good and faithful servant. That's what it's all about. So do you shine the light of Yeshua? Do your actions speak about that? Remember, we're supposed to do these works and supposed to do what? Supposed to show and glorify God the Father. Okay? A lot of us have mixed messages out there. We shine the light of Yeshua, and then we let the flesh get in the way, and somebody starts talking to us, and we're annoyed, and we don't really shine the light of the Lord, do we? And we give somebody a mixed message. We got to be careful. We got to be careful with our speech. Okay? Bobby talked about it. We got to be careful what we say to other people. That's the biggest way you show the Lord, is through your actions. Actions speak louder than... Everybody knows that, right? Actions speak louder than words. Everybody can talk a good talk, but can you back it up with the walk? The walk is where people see the light, not so much the talk. Do a lot less talking, do a lot more walking. That's the moral of the story. I try to do that in my life, and you know, sometimes it always doesn't work, but you know, work at it. We got to work at it. Let your light shine in your speech, in your actions. Do you treat people kindly? I was thinking about this today. Do we have an arrogance about us? Oh, look at me. You know, I've been following the Lord for 40 years. Oh, great. Well, this person that's been following the Lord for 2 years has got it better than, understands it better than you, because they've got a humility about them. Okay? Let's not get puffed up. Do we treat people nicely? Do we show there's something different in us? That difference should be the Lord. Do you shine the light of Yeshua, or do you shine your own light? That's the challenge today. Which light are you shining? Let's work on shining more and more the light of Yeshua. Look, even if I tried my best, I'm still going to shine my light sometimes. But I'm praying that more and more it's Yeshua's light, and I get out of the way, right? I get out of the way. The prayer is, Lord, get me out of the way so that you can do some things, and you can shine the light in people's lives by them seeing me. Mark 4:24. Let's continue on with this really awesome parable, I think. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still, more will be added to you. Wow, pay attention to what you hear. Now, we live in a world today that is saturated with stimulus. I am not very old, even though I have a lot of gray hair now. I am not very old, and I can remember when the world was, at least to my, in my mind, the world was not as saturated 20, 25 years ago as it is today. Okay? The world is, I mean, I remember when I got my first cell phone. It was like this big thing, you know. And now it's like everybody's got a cell phone. I remember when the phones were corded, you know, and you had to go around the, and you can only go so far. And now they're just everywhere. It's amazing. Not just that. The internet. Man, it was so frustrating. You had to go to the library or pull out the big encyclopedia if you want to look something up. And now they got this crazy thing called Wikipedia. Sometimes it's not right, but I still keep going to it. Wikipedia has a lot of good stuff. Of course, check it out. Trust but verify. But, you know, there's so much stuff out there. I swear. And I don't know how my mind still cannot comprehend the internet. Like, it's just out there. Like, I feel like you can't get any more websites on the internet. It's stuffed, but it's not stuffed. Things keep still popping up on the internet. You Google something, and I guarantee it's a rarity now when you Google something or you Bing something or you DuckDuckGo something or whatever you do, and nothing comes up. We have so much stimulus. We have so much that's in earshot, that's in eye shot. There's just so much out there. How do you filter? How do you filter sometimes? Everything in this age, everything's at our fingertips. The things of the Lord are light to us. And you know what? There's good things about the internet. There's good things about Facebook. There's good things about all that good stuff. But there's also the darkness, too. We have to be careful that we parse through the stimulus. There's a lot of lights going on to light your path. You got to choose the right lights, okay? You've got to choose the right lights. You can just as easily let in bad things and let in darkness. Be careful what we're reading. Be careful what we're watching. Be careful what we're looking at. Be careful who we're hanging out with. Be careful what we're doing in our lives. We don't want to be led in darkness. Mark 24 and 25 now. Let's add 25 to it. And he, Yeshua, said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." The more stuff you let in, the more you grow, the more good stuff you let in. Now, again, you can grow in that darkness too. Be careful with light you take in. But the more and more you let that light shine in your life, that good stimulus, the Word of God, the fellowship of believers, the truth of God's Word, prayer, communication with God, the more you take in, the more you grow in the Lord. It's simple. The more you grow and more and grow, you grow in the Lord, the more and more blessed you are, and the closer you get to God. I'm telling you, the more joy and peace you have. It's not a formula. It's not the genie where the more of the Lord you get, the easier life is. We have this thing because of technology is everything keeps getting easier. Okay, it used to be you had to remember somebody's phone number when you called them. Now we have this thing called speed dial, and you can store it in your phone. And honestly, I don't remember half the phone numbers in my cell phone. But things have just gotten so easy and so easy. So we're conditioned to think with more and more and more, it's easier and easier on our lives. Listen, when you get more and more of the Lord, there's joy, there's peace. It fills you up, but it doesn't make life easier. In fact, sometimes it makes life more difficult because out there, they're not filling themselves up with the Lord. They're not the ones that are getting fed the Word of God and the light of the Lord. We got to be careful. We can't just make the simple correlation, well, life's going to be so great. You've heard of this prosperity gospel. God, as soon as I get closer and closer to you, you're going to provide for my needs and my wants, and I'll get the car that I want. I'll get the life that I want. That's not how it works. He's not a genie. What he does promise is the peace that passes all understanding, because that's what his word says. The word doesn't say he's going to bless you materially. He's going to bless you spiritually after you take that light more and more and more. So how do we interpret this last part, though? The one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Those who turn from the truth may find the truth taken away from them. over and over, and then completely. When you push the Lord away, okay, he may be pursuing you. God, you know, when God pursues you, you ever had God pursue you, and he just won't stop. Everywhere you go, it's like God's trying to tell you stuff, and you kind of know it, you know, before you became a believer, and you're like, oh, and it's like everything. You get these people in your lives, and they're telling you, I don't know if anybody's felt this way, but it was like he's pursuing you. But you keep pushing him away, and you keep pushing him away, and you keep pushing him away. That loud voice gets softer and softer. He's not going to continue to knock on the door. Hey, I know you're not listening to me. I'm just going to stand here until you listen. No. If you don't let the Lord in, over time, he's going to be like, okay, I'll go over here. I'm not going to keep pushing. So what it's the interpretation is, you know what? Be careful. Don't keep pushing away the Lord. Don't keep pushing away the Lord, or he's going to back off, and what you have will be taken. It's going to be like to the point where, see you later. King Saul was a godly, good king at first. You know, we always think of King Saul as, oh, he's the bad one. You know, he threw the spear at David. That's kind of how he's remembered. King Saul was at first, for many years, a godly king, and he served the Lord faithfully. But then he started relying on his own strength. And then he started relying on his own might. And hey, look at me. I'm the king of Israel. Hey, I'm a head taller than everybody. I'm handsome. And you know what? I can be a good king too. I got it all. I got the whole package. And you know, whenever we get so much of a good thing, sometimes we tend to get complacent. And that's what happened to King Saul. He started relying on his own strength, and he started rejecting the Lord. And here's what the prophet Samuel said to King Saul. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15:23. I love the book of 1 Samuel. I'm telling you, 1 Samuel has so much goodness in it. I just want to keep preaching it over and over and over again. But I know I can't. There's another 60-something books. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because, King Saul, you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Look, God is not going to be just like, okay, well, I gave you all this stuff, and yeah, you can kind of do your own thing now because I still love you. He does still love him, but he's going to start pulling away. Hey, listen, you've rejected me over and over, Saul. What happens? It's gone. Finally, it's like, I'm going to go search for somebody, God's saying, who has a heart for me. This is what I want. And what happens? The next king, King David. Now, King David did some horrible, horrible things. But God never stopped saying, he's a man after my own heart. Because King David knew he would repent. He understood. The prophet Nathan came to him and basically said, you're screwing up. And he could have said, what are you talking about? Off with your head. You know, he could have said, I'm the king of Israel. Don't speak to me that way. Do you realize what God has done for me? No. He fell down and he got right with God. He was a man after God's own heart. What does that mean? You don't have to be perfect for God to stay with you. You just have to be sensitive to the Spirit and know when God's trying to tell you something, you better listen. Because if you don't listen, he's going to start backing away. See, David could have followed the same way Saul did. And you know, most of the kings did. But David kept going back to God and going back to God and going back to God. A man after God's own heart. That's the person. That's the person we talk about when we talk about the Messiah being the son of David. He wasn't the son of Saul. He wasn't the son of Solomon. He wasn't the son of Hezekiah. The son of David. Why? Not because David did everything right, because he had a heart after God. Let's remember that. A heart after God. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you, Israel, have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Look, God is very clear with the nation of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. There's blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. Everybody thinks because Israel didn't follow God and they got the curses that God's done with them. It's not what it means. What it means is you do reap what you sow. And God is not going to just stand back while Israel worships Baal and puts the Baal and Moloch and all these other gods the same with God. He's not going to sit back and do that. But what he does say is, there's always a chance. Come on back to me. Come on back to me. Come get right. Come put that light back in you. Come start listening. Come start looking at that light again. It's never too late. It's never too late for Israel. God is not done with Israel. He's starting to see it. We talked about it earlier. The Jewish people have rejected God so many times before. Most of Israel is still very secular, and there's a lot of issues in Israel. As I've said before, it's a lot of sin over there, but God is not done. He's never done. He may back away a little bit, but he's still saying, guys, I'm over there. I got this light that you're going to want. And more people are accepting that light. There is some wild stuff going on in a nation of Israel right now. There's people on fire. There's congregations on fire. Congregations are growing. People are getting transformed in their lives because they're recognizing that there is a light better than them. There's a light better than the crazy life that they're living. It's the light of the Lord. So today I want to ask you, as we close, have you been rejecting that light? Have you been rejecting the Lord? Have you not been listening to that light? Have you not been letting that light shine in your life and out there? Are you letting in the things of the world as your lamp? Or are you letting in the Lord as your lamp? It's always a choice. Even for us as believers, every day you got to turn on that lamp. Which one are you going to turn on? Are you going to turn on the lamp of the Lord? Or are you going to turn the lamp of the world? We have a choice to make. You want to turn on the right lamp today, but it's never too late. Psalm 86:15. I'm going to leave you with this scripture today. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Even at our worst, I'm talking about Israel, even at our worst, talking about you and me today, God is still there and he's ready. He's got the lamp ready for us. You know, back in the day, they had the lamp with the oil. Now we have the lamp. He's got the new light bulb. It's never going to go out. And it's going to be an LED bright light bulb for you. He's never too far for you to reach out and turn on his lamp. Let's pray today. Lord, we thank you for your light and your lamp. Lord, without instructions, without your word, without your presence in our lives, we would be fumbling around in darkness. I am so thankful that you don't leave it up to me in this life, because I get down, I make mistakes, and you know what? My light kind of gets dim. I think I've shattered a couple of light bulbs in my lifetime here. But Lord, your light bulb never goes out. Help us today to choose to turn on your lamp. It's the one that's going to be the brightest. It's the one that's going to fill us with the most joy. And that joy never runs dry. It never gets old. And Lord, I pray today that we would turn on your lamp and your light. First, to fill us. Second, Lord, that we can shine it out there in the world. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would just take and turn on your lamp today. The light of Yeshua, the light of the world. And that, Lord, that we would then be lights of the world. Give us, Lord, that perspective today. Open our hearts to this teaching, Lord God. You are a gentleman, and you're not going to continue to beat on the door, but you're always saying, guys, I'm over here. Anytime you want to turn on this lamp, let's get started again. It's never too late to go and turn on the lamp. So, Lord, I pray today that we would just turn on your lamp and your light in our lives. And we'll start to see things, obstacles. They're not going to stop being there. But Lord, you're going to show us how to get around them. Lord, you're going to show us how to maneuver. The valley of the shadow of death is what we're walking through, Lord. But you're the rod and the staff that's with us. You're the lamp that's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So Lord, be our light today. We're reaching out for that lamp and we're turning that lamp on of you. And let it just shine bright in us today. We thank you and we praise you. In the name of Yeshua, the great light of the world. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.